This is the Golf Life Faith podcast brought to you by College Golf Fellowship. I'm Toby Ragland, one of your hosts. Another host is Jace Barber, and we are CGF staff members full-time. We love serving the world of college golf, and this podcast is going to be conversations with our PGA Tour partners, with CGF and other partners in the world of golf, and we hope you learn a lot. We certainly will along the way. Hope you join us for the journey and learn all areas golf, life, and faith.
Welcome back to the Golf Life Faith Podcast. My name is Jace Barber. I'm one of your hosts, joined by the other host, Toby Ragland. Toby, how's it going?
Doing great. Excited about our guest today. Our staff highlights are probably some of my favorite episodes to record, and we have Davis Baxter with us today. Davis, welcome to the Golf Life Faith Podcast.
So every single time that DB and I talk to each other on the phone, except for one exception, because he messed it up about 3 weeks ago, for 4 years, we have answered the phone the same way. What up, DB? It's your boy, JB. What it do, baby? And then some other, blah, 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 blah. But he messed it up recently. But DB, so pumped you're on the pod. Can't wait to hear your story.
Does that mean my intro has to be the answer to the phone call? I don't know if that's a trick question or not. Also, I don't know if your memory serves you right. I don't think I messed it up. But all that to say, I'm so glad to be here. Love the podcast. Awesome to hang out with you guys. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so Davis, you interned with us in 2020. So that was a fun year to do an internship. And you came on staff with us in 2021. Give us kind of a context of what teams you serve with CGF right now and what ministry looks like for you nowadays.
Totally. Yeah. So I started out doing the internship in Orlando, Florida. And that was a tough place to do CGF. I didn't have as many open doors. That's what I'm putting it on. Or maybe I just had no idea what I was doing. But since then, in 2021, have moved to Charlotte, where our boss, Corky Kemp, has done a great job of cultivating a lot of different relationships. So I kind of have five main schools that I hang out with: UNC Charlotte, Queens, Winthrop, Wofford, and Furman, and kind of do a weekly Bible study with them. But also within about a two-hour circle, as most CGF staffers, we have several other schools that we see either once a month, once a semester, once a year. So I'm definitely one of the Carolinas guys and get to serve this area, and it's been a lot of fun. I mean, since 2021, have learned so much, and one of the best parts is getting to hang out with our staff, and so this podcast is a real treat. So
yeah, Toby, I remember the first
No, you go ahead. Go ahead. See, does this remind you of 2020 and Zoom, when we all would just talk over each other?
Yes, exactly. I still remember the first time we hung out, just the two of us, like for a day. It was you came down to St. Augustine and caddied for me in the St. Augustine Amateur. That was a blast. You were exhausted from all the travel you had been doing, but we had a fun time on the golf course. Lots of good conversations.
Oh, yeah. That was during the time where I was just saying yes to literally everything. And if you know our boss, Corky, he is an amazing man who has a capacity unlike any other. And so he just invited me to do literally everything that he was doing. And then Toby said, "Why don't you come caddy for me?" And I was like, "Well, of course."
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah. So it's fun to watch Toby. Toby's like a video game on the golf course. So hits it where he's looking.
So. Well, let's get back to talking about you and your golf game. Take us back to college. What was college golf like for you? At what point were you introduced to CGF? Just kind of share some stories from those times.
Before we get there, Toby, you've got to hit on his bio on Cincinnati's website. Just some of the cool facts there about Davis.
Oh, well, a key fact there. The first thing that stood out was a score you shot at Coldstream Country Club. Can you confirm that number, DB? What was that number?
Was it high or low? There's a pretty big range that I shot.
Low. I wasn't looking very high. 62.
Ooh,
oh, yeah. The bio.
That's probably the best round I've ever played. It was probably about this time, I don't know, 6 years ago. No, more than that, because it was my senior year. So anyway, just went out there. It's one of those days where the hole looked like the size of the ocean. Hit it pretty good, but just made so many putts. And, you know, I mean, if you guys play golf, you have that every once in a while, maybe once every 6 years or less, where everything just goes right. Everything went right. And it was amazing. So
better round than your Fantasia mini golf that you had going a couple weeks ago?
Close. I mean, the Fantasia one, it was unfortunately ended by some inclement weather. So if you've ever heard the best that never was, that's probably what I would use to describe that. But, wow. Oh, well.
Yeah. And then the other fact before you share some good stories, it mentioned, you know, your birthday, December 30th, 1995, your parents, your brother, you've got two sisters. And then it finalized your bio with the fact that you are right-handed.
Yeah, not everyone is. So but actually, fun fact, not everyone is, truly. You know,
it's good journalism December, to clarify that.
Yeah. Some people golf from the wrong side of the ball. It's important to know which side you need to be on. But fun fact about December 30th, same birthday as LeBron James and Tiger Woods.
Wow.
What happened to me? I don't know.
Oh, what could have been? What could have been?
What could have been?
The best that never was. I'm just going to stick with that.
All right. So walk us through college golf at the University of Cincinnati, Davis Baxter.
Yeah, I had such a positive experience there. I mean, my best friends are from Cincinnati that were on the team. And I'm actually going up this weekend to see one of my buddies, Christian Vining, Scott Sapp, all those guys that we were in the same class. They're some of my best friends. Practically speaking, in college playing, I normally tell people I did everything there is to do in college golf. I shot a million. I've shot low. I've come in last in a college golf tournament. I've won a college tournament. I've played 1 through 5. I've played, you know, the individual. I've missed the lineup. Literally have done everything there is to do except play in postseason. So, it was quite the experience. I'm sure I put some gray hairs on my coach's head because I also went through a horrible stage of the driver yips. Mm. The Lord delivered me. So by the end of the time, I think probably the sweetest cherry on top, practically speaking, is I came in second at the conference tournament my senior year. And that was just like, man, college golf was hard. If you guys are out there and have played college golf, you get it. There's a lot that goes with it. It was really a tough season. But to finish strong like that was it was a gift from the Lord, really. I praise him for that because I hadn't played that well. But to finish out like that was really, really fun. So
now, was that down at Innisbrook at that point? Or where was that event?
Yeah, I was at the Copperhead course. So and I shot 70, 70, 70.
That's respectable. And to go from having the driver yips in college to finishing second at Innisbrook, that's called overcoming the driver yips.
Here's a little practical tip for you guys out there that have the driver yips. There's a mental piece and there's a technique piece. But if you had to just choose one, obviously you'd probably choose the mental, but no one really works on their mental game. So here's the technical piece. My strategy was aim left, swing left. I just played a huge cut and it got me out of it. I mean, I was playing slices off the tee, but I knew it wasn't gonna go left. I would hit out of bounds right and be like, okay, no worries, but it wasn't gonna go left.
That's so good.
Truly that got me out of it. Wow. So
how about that? That's awesome though. Cool. Great story. And then following up with that, any other fun stories from with some teammates? You know, we know our boy Austin Squires. You probably have some good ones with him. But any stories you wanna share on the pod that are appropriate for the pod?
Yeah. Man, I wish I had put more thought into it. I mean, there's just so many fun stories of shots that were hit or guys just playing, but I don't have any that jump off the page right now. But I do remember, and it's kind of a sappy moment, but I remember shaking my roommate's hand for, he was Scott Sapp, literally lived with him the whole time. And it was one of the last rounds that we played at our home course, that same home course, Coldstream. And I just remember shaking his hand and I almost started crying because I was so thankful for him, for all my other teammates, for just how God had placed, you know, all these great people in my life. So unfortunately, I can't think of any like fun stories right off the top of my head. But actually, no, I just thought of one.
Yeah.
My freshman, freshman year, you're not going to believe this. Freshman year, we, by the way, on the golf team, we had access to a state-of-the-art gym. Like, it was great. It was the same gym the football team uses. This, it was awesome. But my other roommate, so I lived with Scott, and my other roommate, his name was Christian. Christian was like, man, we need to have a weight room in our apartment. Because it was like a dorm style apartment, and our fourth, our random fourth had moved out. So he's like, Davis, we're going to take your bed. We're going to bunk it on mine. And that other room, we're going to make into a weight room. So we ended up buying a bunch of weights and putting it in our other room. And just for no other reason than to, you know, have another weight room. Which, that's so funny. If you look at pictures of me freshman year, you can tell I didn't use it because I was right now I weigh about 195 pounds, but my freshman year I weighed about 250, like just shy of 250, and not in a good way. So anyway,
so y'all set up the full dorm room as a gym.
Yeah. And the funny thing is like he bought this squat rack and this bench and it was kind of all connected. It was kind of like a one thing, you know, it was an all-purpose deal and it wouldn't fit in the elevator.
Oh, wow.
So we were having to take it up the stairs.
Oh and my.
If you've ever seen the episode where they're moving that couch up there and they're screaming pivot.
Pivot.
Yep. We had one of those moments where literally the edge of the bench had kind of like a sharp metal edge and we plunged it straight into the drywall in the stairwell.
Oh my.
And I am laughing as hard as I've ever laughed in my life. And we got it out of there and we just never, I mean, just never told anybody. So.
Whoops.
But,
Cincinnati, if you're looking, well, yeah. Here he is.
You here found he is. Me.
I have not thought of this in so long, but my freshman year at UF, I was in a dorm, had my own room, but I shared a bathroom. And I shared a bathroom with the RA of that dorm. And one of the RAs was a lifter. And so he had a full squat rack in his room.
Oh.
And he would knock on my door at 4:45, 5 o'clock in the morning to get me to come spot him squatting. And I'd be standing there exhausted, staring at the weight he was squatting. Like, dude, if this weight, if you drop this weight, I'm going to do nothing. Like, I got nothing on this. So, yeah.
Like, just let
not
me
a great
see.
Idea to
just let
put
me
a gym
see.
In your dorm.
Me,
yeah,
me,
to,
spot,
Toby,
I'll just call 911.
Same thing,
Toby. You may not have been able to stop that weight, but let me tell you, you have the sharpest jawline this side of the Mississippi. So, you know what? It's okay.
Thanks, Davis. I think so, that's the first time that's been highlighted on this podcast.
No, it is not.
I actually messaged. Oh, yeah, I Van messaged Zandt. Him. I messaged him on the staff call and I was like, Toby, how do you look younger than when I first met you?
It's a fact.
I don't understand.
He's on the, it's,
I don't understand.
It's like Ben Crane. Like every time I hang out with Ben, I'm like, how are you who you are? And it comes down to diet. You look at both those guys, which Toby's gone through some diets. We could spend a whole podcast. We could spend an entire podcast on that. But we won't. We won't. Let's keep on moving with DB. Toby, do you have anything before we get to Davis kind of talking about his introduction to CGF?
Nope.
All right, sweet. So DB, let's kind of start shifting gears and you know, when were you introduced to CGF? What'd that look like? And then, I mean, now you're on staff. So of course we're going to get to that. But yeah, just what were the origins of your introduction to CGF?
Yeah, for sure. So my first introduction to CGF was with
how
Drew Allen.
How many times did we just say introduction to CGF? We probably just said it 10 times. I'm going to put a little counter and then we're going to post that clip But continue on.
Yeah. So to get back into the intro, CGF was introduced to me by Drew Allenspach, and he was the rep kind of, he lived in Louisville. And so Cincinnati was about an hour and a half away. And it somehow Drew had gotten my email, and I don't know how, but he kept emailing. So my first interaction with CGF was with emails from Drew Allenspach, and I had no idea what he did or what CGF was. And I just was like, what is going on? And why does he keep emailing me? And then he kept emailing me about Ben Crane's retreat in Nashville. And I'm from Nashville, and so my parents were there. So during winter break, I think it was 2015, at Ben Crane's retreat,
yep,
he was like, you need to come to this retreat. It's in Nashville. I guess somehow he had deduced I was from Nashville. He's like, it's only, you know, however far. And so I finally gave in. I was like, okay, I really have no excuse. I'm just going to be home. I should go. And quick sidebar, I had been raised in a Christian home. My parents are both amazing and have discipled me from a young age. And in some ways, I feel like they had given me all the pieces, but it wasn't until college where all those pieces kind of fell into place. And I started to understand more of the word grace, but also just walking with Jesus. Mm. So now back into to Ben Crane's retreat, I went to Ben Crane's retreat in 2015, December, and was in Drew's small group. And also Ray Ortland was the teacher of the word that week. And I just remember him speaking about the gospel in a way that was almost like a pleasant surprise. Mm-hmm. You know, I think living in and growing up in the Bible Belt, you can kind of catch this secondhand smoke almost of like, I just need to do enough so God will be pleased with me. Or, you know, even worse, like I'm not doing enough and God is not pleased with me. And I don't think he ever could be.
Yeah.
But Ray Ortland, I think, just laid out the gospel so beautifully of like, no, it's way more about what Christ has done for you and way more about us looking to him, something he says all the time, with empty hands of faith and just receiving what he has done for us. And I just remember contemplating that and really being honestly, in a way, pleasantly surprised, like, wow, is that really who God is? That's amazing. So, and then starting from there, Drew did an amazing job of calling me, coming to see me in Cincinnati, and really put his arm around me and showed me what it was like to walk with Jesus for me, you know, outside of my parents' house, outside of, mm-hmm. you know, a dutiful, oh, I should do this. It was a delight of, oh, this is what it is to walk with Jesus. And from there, Drew encouraged me to get involved in a local church and Campus Crusade. And so as you can imagine from there, having good doctrine in the gospel and really learning and having Drew disciple me, but also the community aspect, that's when my life really started to change, I think, and grow deeper into who Jesus really is and grace. I think that would be the word that I would say was the real difference maker. And the way that it made sense to me was justice would be, you know, if I punch Toby, justice would be Toby gets to punch me back. But grace would be Toby punches me and I give him a car. It's like, wait a minute, that's so bizarre and strange. But it actually would make more sense for that situation to play out than it would be for God to be gracious to me in the way that he has. And so when somebody explained it to me that way, it was like, wow, that is at the nucleus of who God is. And so I would say that's how I would characterize my story in college, is understanding the word grace.
So I'd love to hear, gosh, I love hearing Drew's influence on you during college, because I came on staff in 2014 and got to spend a lot of time with Drew. Gosh, he'd be a great next guest on the podcast, Jace. We need to do that. And just thinking about the work that you're probably doing now with your current college teams, sometimes you feel like, you know, you get to know a guy and you don't know if he's really getting the gospel yet, but it's so sweet when someone just takes off understanding the sweetness of the grace of the gospel. And it's so clear you're understanding the gospel when we're around you and just talk about things that are difficult, but then also just the goodness of God. It's clear from you. And I think it plays out in a lot of ways.
Totally. So,
would love to also. No, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say one more sweet thing about Drew, and probably for every Christian, right? I mean, if you're sharing the gospel, you don't probably on this side of heaven, you have no idea how many people it's going to touch and impact. But I think Drew's a perfect example where he was just faithful to be the guy that was emailing a college kid, hey, here's the CGF is. And now, like, through the transformation of the gospel and walking with Jesus, now I'm spending my full-time job in doing the same thing. And that's all because of Drew's faithfulness to put his arm around me. And I just think that's really, really cool. And it is a praise of Drew, but it's just a praise of more so God and structuring discipleship that way, and just the ripple effects that we may not ever even know until we get to heaven.
And what did that look like for you? You mentioned Drew encouraged you to get involved in a local church. What did that look like for you in college while you're trying to play college golf?
Yeah, I mean, I think there was no substitute of just effort, right? In college golf, you have so much going on. So it's like, I'm going to make a priority of doing this. And that was my sophomore year. So I'd really spent my first year and a half in college kind of hoping that it would just come to me, you know? But I think there was a level of understanding the word grace, but then also taking responsibility of like, okay, this is, if I want to have Christian community, I need to go be in Christian community and make friends and go introduce myself to people that I don't know, which was really, really hard for me because I'm naturally an introvert. And I think the Lord has grown me into seeing the beauty of people over the years. But in college, it was really tough for me to go up and introduce myself to people that I didn't know. But I also knew, like, man, that's what we're called to. So going up and actually just doing it and expecting that God would, you know, be right there and help me and guide me into the right spaces. So it did take a lot of effort, but the return was really, really sweet. In terms of community and people and friends that are still my friends. So
it's always so sweet, like when you have those moments of coming before the Lord, praying and asking for things, and then walking out in obedience, you know, the process to get there, and then seeing the fruit that the Lord literally just gives and the pleasure that comes from that, and saying like, God, this is truly a gift. Like, we have to walk in obedience to see it. But the Lord's doing all the work behind the scenes. You know, I have similar stories in college. And I think we probably all do. But just seeing the Lord produce that fruit as you walk in obedience, like, there's nothing like it. And like Webb Simpson always says, like, I've regretted a lot of things in my life. I've never regretted obeying the Lord and walking out in obedience. So that's awesome. Mm. Awesome, encouraging thing. Like, especially for the listener, for the college golfers that are listening, you know, there are scary things that you have to do when you're walking with the Lord. And, you know, the fear of man is a real thing, and we all struggle with it. But when you just surrender that, and then going back to the Ray Orland thing, when you walk with open hands of faith, there's a lot of fruit on the other side of that when you walk out in obedience.
Well, I'm going to steal how Corky will sometimes introduce you right now to set up the next question. But, you know, about a year before you came on staff, our East region did a spiritual gifts assessment. And I think every single one of us scored a 0 on musical giftings and ability. Davis, you have an unbelievable gift with music. I'd love for you to share some of the backstory of, like, how did you get involved with playing music? What was your first love of music?
Yeah, great question. I actually grew up playing the drums for like 10 years before I did anything other than that, I mean, I took, like, probably a normal kid, I took piano lessons, but I hated it. I mean, hated it, which is ironic now because I love the piano.
And we love when you play the piano.
I love that. So it was actually my freshman year of college in Cincinnati. For anybody in the Midwest or North, you know, like, man, when it gets cold. And the sky is the color gray for months. And so you can't really go outside, and it sounds very depressing. So I just had to do something with my time. And I asked, my brother had grown up playing guitar. So I asked my mom, can you send my brother's guitar up to Cincinnati? And so she did. And I just started learning off of YouTube, just learning different songs. And I just learned to love it. I don't really know how else to say it other than learn to love it. And then through college, I actually started writing songs. So about probably my early junior, or probably late junior year, senior year is when I started to write songs. And it would be funny to have Scott and Christian, my roommates here, because they've seen it from the beginning. I started off so bad. Couldn't sing worth a lick, but still just kind of trial by error got to where I was singing more. And honestly, I started writing songs, and that became a huge passion because it was almost like, a journal, you know, that some people keep. And it's like almost a prayer journal and kind of getting creative and expressing how I feel in my heart, whether it be with a relationship with God or relationship with a girl, whatever it might be, just trying to get creative with lyrics that are specific to my situation, but also kind of universal enough to where if somebody else heard it, they'd be like, oh yeah, I felt that too. And so that, I feel like that art is something that I wanted to get better at and still want to get better at, but through the years have really tried to express spiritual truths or just life truths through music, and have loved to get to do that. So yeah, it's been a journey over the years. So, but that was right around the same time as introduction to CGF. So God was definitely at work in my life. And now I just thank God for the gift of music, because in some ways I look back and I'm like, that really came out of nowhere. And I didn't really do anything to get that other than just show up. So.
And we all thank God for the gift that he gave you of music. I think Toby can agree, and all of our staff and everybody who's heard you at retreats or marriage retreats or any sort of retreat where we have you play. It's truly is a gift.
Yeah, that's been fun. I mean, I received that. Thank you. Those are kind words. And it's been fun to get to play at some of these retreats and to think that these songs that really just started out as prayers would be enjoyed by other people is really a grace of God too. So.
What's your favorite song that you've written that has a spiritual component, not necessarily a girl or life alert, you know, one of those?
Yeah.
And any thought behind that song?
Yeah, I think one of my favorite songs that I've written is actually a song about Nashville. So growing up in Nashville, I still love it there. But it really is a song about rest. And Toby and Jace actually saw, this is a whole nother, this is probably a whole nother podcast, but they saw me at one of the low points of my life sitting in this Cracker Barrel. And during that time I was dating my now wife, and we were deciding whether or not we should get engaged. And this is the very abridged version, but we ended up breaking up for a year and a half. No contact, and that, and then reconnected at each of our best friend's wedding, where she was the maid of honor and I was the best man. And now we're married and expecting our first child in November, which is crazy.
Oh yeah.
Crazy. But back to that moment where we were sitting in that Cracker Barrel, I was just so confused, stressed. And so much of it was me trying to take my life in my own hands and make sure I didn't mess up. Mm-hmm. And that left me exhausted. So I think that would be a kind of the antithesis of trusting God, right? It's like, okay, I have to make sure my life doesn't mess up, or I don't want to ruin my life by doing anything, you know, drastic or whatever. But in the middle of that, some of the lyrics of this Nashville song is, when did life get so hard that I forget to breathe? When did I learn how to be anyone but me? And then it says, like, these rolling hills of Nashville, they're calling me back home. But then the second verse is one of my favorite lines. Is it says, a broken heart will leave a scar and bring you to your knees, but a flowing river from the giver is what my heart needs. And so I think that flowing river part would really be the main point, or the desire of my heart, if you will, or whatever. And so I really like that song because it's not technically an in-your-face spiritual song, but to me, there was a lot of spiritual significance in a time where my heart desperately needed rest, and I almost withheld it from myself by not trusting God. But I knew that's what I needed, you know. And maybe somebody out there could relate to that. If, like, man, just if the gospel is a chair, like, you can sit in that chair and let the full weight of your life rest down in that chair. And I was kind of doing like an air squat above the chair and exhausting myself, you know, thinking that I was trusting God, but I really wasn't, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
it's good.
So, Davis, as we talk about some of your lyrics, I've actually printed out your lyrics to Chasing the Wind and used it in several Bible studies this year. And the one line I love is the, I think I had it last time, so I think I'll try again. And it's just so, like, true of our hearts. Like, we think we can hold on to life on our own. We can control it. We can avoid messing up, like you were just saying. And we feel like we're so close. So I know it didn't work last time, but I'm going to try that same method. And yeah, that song has been incredibly impactful for me.
Yeah. I'm super honored that you would use some of those lyrics. And it's really funny because I hope I can say this in a way that makes sense, but truly it feels like a lot of those songs have just been gifts to my own heart. Mm. And that I've just, again, not in a prideful way at all, received those from God for my own heart. And then they literally become songs. And that song truly is written to, like, my generation of the life of Ecclesiastes in the book of the Bible, where people are just, you know, Solomon's contemplating the purpose of life. And now we have the benefit of looking back through the cross and understanding that, man, we want to know God and enjoy him forever. But so much of our life, at least people my age, are just living for what culture tells us to. And it's like, yeah, I almost had it last time, so I guess I just have to keep trying, you know? And you just keep waking up with the feeling gray, you know? You just keep waking up with the feeling of the void or whatever it might be. And the very last part of that song says, it's embarrassing when you forget the lyrics to your own song. But basically, it's like, man, I want to give my life to the Son of Man, which I think is really, like, I think that's a cool conclusion to it, so...
Well, Davis, this has been such a fun way to just have you share stories from college and your musical lyrics and ability. Would love to end with some rapid fire questions, unless Jace, you can think of something else you want to ask right now. We'll go into the rapid fire questions.
I'll be honest. We could talk for another 35 minutes. Easy.
You guys are taking it easy on me because, again, we could talk about the Cracker Barrel moment. We could talk a lot of different things. Y'all are taking it easy. So I guess just email Jace or somebody if you want more of the more of the story.
Yeah, we need to do a part two is what needs to happen.
That'll be rated PG-13.
I'll have to click the explicit box.
No, don't.
Oh my.
Very heavy. Very heavy. Gosh, that morning. What a morning. But no, DB, absolutely love you and have been so encouraged. I was going to say this morning. I don't know why I think it's morning. I just get up so early nowadays that the whole day's morning.
Well, some people are going to listen to this in the morning. So it's fine.
Exactly.
And they'll be encouraged by that. But no, just so. Filled up. Anytime I'm with you, and I know that every single college guy that interacts with you and is around you, and we get to see it firsthand. And I hope that everybody listening could just get a little taste of it, a sense of it. And then I can't wait to have, you know, a CGF fundraising event at some point and have the headliner be Davis Baxter Music, you know, CGF staff.
Hey.
Baxter.
Yeah.
It's going to be a pickleball tournament and a dinner with music from Davis Baxter. So anybody interested, email any of us and we'll get you on the list.
People will be asking, where does the golf come in? It's just pickleball music. What do we do? I don't know about you, Jace, but I think I've played more pickleball this year than golf.
Oh, I have. Absolutely.
Yeah.
We use golf as an avenue to play pickleball with guys.
Yeah.
Which do you feel like you have a higher ceiling at? Meaning, like, which do you think you could, if you devoted your all-out time to it, do you think you could get better at golf, or do you think you could get better at pickleball, like, and pursue it professionally?
I don't know. I feel like I didn't play tennis growing up, so like my paddle control is like I'm decent at pickleball, but like my ceiling, I think it'd be a lot of training for me to get really, really good. My really, really, really good golf is very good. And I think if I continue to work with Ben Crane, my swing coach, I think we're going to hit high levels in the mid-am world over the next 5 years.
And keep Wes Williams very far away from you.
Very far. So, Wes,
that's another story.
Yeah, there's a lot of driver stories there.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I think Wes single-handedly put Jace in a bad spot with a driver, but he's out of it now. He's out of it.
It took me five years, and I think I'm finally on the up and up. Thank you, Ben Crane. Shout out to Ben Crane, who we also need to have on the podcast next. Ben, you're on next.
Yes.
After Drew or before Drew, I don't know. We've got a lot of guys on the docket.
We could just do a 2015 Ben Crane retreat revisit. We'll get Ray Ortland. We've got Davis. Get Drew. Be great.
Man. All right, let's go.
That would be a dream.
Let's go to some rapid fires.
All right, so we're going to go with the ones we always go with, just to see where it goes. Davis, favorite meal of the day? Breakfast,
dinner.
Lunch, or dinner? Okay, what are you making for dinner? Or what are you ordering for dinner?
I mean, if price is not an, you know, factor.
Oh, it's definitely not a factor.
Yeah, steak. I mean, a ribeye steak with some good marbling. Medium rare or more rare, like closer to rare, almost a rare plus, if you will. But if you can get a hard crust on the outside and then pretty rare, but not all the way rare, it's very specific. Cast iron, doing it in a cast iron, that's nice too. Love a good sweet potato. Brussels sprouts, got to be Brussels sprouts with the steak too. So
I didn't know I was hungry, but here I am.
Well played.
Yeah.
All right. Dream foursome.
Oh, wow.
You can pick dead or alive.
I mean,
and you can go with four people. So there's, you know,
the five. So
we'll let you play five.
The five. Wow. I mean, seriously, we've already mentioned him. I would love to play golf with Ray Ortland. I don't have a relationship with him at all, but talking about a guy that would, or that has kind of formed my like early understanding of deep understanding of the gospel. Like from that retreat, I started listening to his sermons. So he's kind of been like a pastor hero of mine. I would love to spend time with Ray Ortland. I love playing golf with my dad. I mean, I think you guys have met him, but he's such a character. He's awesome to play with. Christian Vining. I need to go with people I don't know. I've already played with these people. Although it would be Christian Vining too. I mean, talking about people. Does Jesus count? Can I play golf with Jesus?
Sure.
I think has anyone ever picked Jesus?
Nope.
It's like the cheesy middle school Christian answer.
I love
youth
it.
Group.
Ray Ortland, Jesus.
That's a strong. let's see. I'm terrible at on the spot things. You know, it would be fun to play with Abraham Lincoln too. He has a pretty impressive story. And he has one quote that I wish I lived by more. But he says, leave nothing to be done tomorrow that can be done today. So he just seems like a very respectable man. Mm. Apostle Paul, I feel like that would be interesting.
I think that's like six so far. So you just keep going.
That's four.
Okay, we'll stop. Okay, cut me off.
That definitely beats out Dragon Majors. As far as the best foursome assembled. Both involve assassinated presidents.
Yikes!
Who did I have? I had Jesus, Ray Ortland, Abraham Lincoln, and my dad.
No, the Apostle Paul. You kicked out your dad Apostle for Paul. Yeah, he's I gone. Think he he's would out. Understand if you know you got the tea time tomorrow.
I'd tell him about it.
Hey, Paul's in town.
Gosh, speaking of Paul, Paul, oh, Paul, if you're listening, you know who you are. I'm not even going to say your last name. If you're listening, we all love you. We all love you.
Oh, wow. Especially me. I really love you, Paul.
Yeah, we be clubbing.
That's right.
I'm glad you said that. Oh, we'll have to send him the pod.
Legend.
And where are you taking your foursome, DB?
Probably Augusta National, right?
That's a good spot.
I've never played there. Bucket list course. Either that or Pine Valley, Seminole. That you know the normal places.
Any others?
You're not good with the list of numbers, huh?
Cypress.
Just name as many golf courses as you want. It's fine.
Fantasia Gardens. Actually, that would be incredible. My. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul freaking out over missing a two-foot putt because the cup is raised?
Oh, man.
Bounces out of the back of the cup.
Gosh.
And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you.
That's how he talks.
So good.
Well, I was going to go with an accent and then abandoned it. I don't know what accent he would have.
Yeah. Not that.
Oh, man. It's so fun to get on the phone call with you guys to record this podcast. So fun.
The phone call. How old is Toby?
I wish you had video.
I don't even know if my headset's plugged in or not. I mean, I'm just here for the
Toby's headset. Toby's headset really looks like he is a hotline, like customer service person who is just like answering phone calls all day. And the sound quality is great. So, yeah. I mean, keep it up.
I'm good.
And then last question, just because you're so musical. If you could go to any concert right now tonight, like from an artist that is touring now or even in the past, what concert are you going to?
I'm going to create a concert.
Okay.
I want to see.
Very on brand for you.
Yes. Here's a.
Just
here's
name
a,
eight, you know?
No, I'm going to name three. I'm going to name three.
Okay.
And they're going to. All it's going to be is them three sitting with a guitar.
Oh.
Doing kind of a writer's round type deal.
Okay.
Or a piano if they choose a piano, whatever they want. I want John Mayer, Ben Rector, and Bear Reinhardt.
Oh.
Tell me that concert would not go crazy.
Wow.
Pretty solid.
And they literally just switch off. Like, John plays a song, Ben, Bear. John, Ben, Bear. And maybe they play one song together at the end. I don't know. I feel like that you could sell tickets for $500 for that in the cheap seats, you know?
Yeah, I love that.
Tell me you wouldn't want to go to that concert, Jace.
I'd be there. I'd be there with you. I'd call you and say, yo, DB, what up? It's your boy JB. Maybe let's go to this concert.
That's right.
All right. Well, brothers, love you guys. Davis, thanks for sharing so much and letting us just get a little insight into your story and hopefully can encourage just one college golfer, one supporter, hopefully more. But we thank you so much for coming on and thanks everybody for listening.
Yeah. Honored to be here. Thank you, fellas.
Thanks, Davis.
Thanks for taking the time to listen to the Golf Life Faith podcast. Whether you're a college golfer, a coach, or you just love golf, we'd love to hear from you. If you have any questions, please email us at podcast@collegegolffellowship.com. Also, check us out on Instagram @collegegolffellowship and on Twitter @CGFTweet. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast and be on the lookout for the next episode next month. Cheers.